me from here. I didn't ask to be broken. I didn't ask you to stroke my hair or treat me like a worthless token. But my skin is thick and my mind is strong. I am built like my father was. I've done nothing wrong. So free me. I just wanna feel what life should be.
Nōmai, haerenmai, welcome to Safe and Sound, New Zealand's only animal rights radio show. Of course, Sandra Kyle ho, and it is my pleasure to bring you at this time every week a new program dealing with the rights of and injustices towards our fellow animals. The way we treat other animals has a direct bearing on many aspects of our lives, on our humanity, our health, our social institutions, and our environment. And the guests we feature on the show reflect aspects of this. We interview many interesting people, and this week we're proud to air a chat recorded with Andrew King, Mayor of Hamilton. Andrew's a vegan. Before we get to Mayor King's interview, I would like to say that last week, Maori Language Week, reminded me that I also could do my bit to honour the language of Aotearoa, New Zealand's first people. And I've decided to include a Maori greeting and farewell and refer to our country as Aotearoa, New Zealand. I'd also like to thank the wonderful Catriona McLennan for taking the helm of Safe and Sound over the past 3 weeks. Catriona's a multi-talented person, lawyer, journalist, social activist, animal advocate, and she does important strategic work through her organisation Animal Agenda Aotearoa to fundamentally improve the lot of animals. Catriona interviewed animal spokespeople from 6 political parties, and there are clear differences in their approaches to the rights and welfare of animals. If you missed these interviews, you can go to our Facebook page, Safe and Sound Radio Show and Podcast, or Free FM or iTunes to hear them. You can follow Animal Agenda Aotearoa on Facebook, where you can look at a comparative chart that Catriona has worked out to see at a glance where the various political parties stand on animal welfare. Let's go now to the interview with Mayor Andrew King. Kia ora, Andrew. Thank you for coming on the show. You've been Hamilton Mayor for over a year now. You were elected a councillor in 2013. Are you enjoying the job?
Yes, I am. It's very busy. It doesn't stop, but I don't find it a burden at all. I love people, so that makes it a lot easier. I know exactly where I want to take the cities. It has given me the direction I need as well.
I was going to ask you about that just briefly. What's your vision for Hamilton?
Well, the first thing I wanted was I stood on a platform of truth and transparency. I wanted all elected members to be involved in all decision making. So any of our subcommittees we don't have, or if we do have any task forces, we don't give them any decision making authority. So everything has to be heard by all 13 members. The second thing is less red tape, streamlining the rules. We're very rules based and bureaucratic, and I think by levelling that out and getting rid of the rules that aren't necessary, there are some rules that are necessary, but the ones that aren't necessary and letting people do more things as of right, it'll be a lot faster to do business in our city, a lot quicker, and it'll bring a lot of prosperity. And the third pillar of my campaign was more sections. I believe we've had a shortage of sections for the last 3 years, and because of that, prices have nearly doubled over that period. And that's because of a supply-demand situation, or part of it's because of a supply-demand situation. And if we have a surplus of sections on the market and competition in the market, then prices find their own level.
When you say sections, you're talking about land plots, are you? Land sections?
Yes. Yeah, sections to build houses on, right. Sections to build factories on.
What do you think, if you could put it in a nutshell, what do you think the biggest challenges ahead of you are?
Well, making local government run in a way that's economical. At the moment, it's very difficult to run local governments and do it with the rates of money that we're receiving. This year that we're in now, we're about $16 million shortfall. So we are overspending for everyday costs of running the city by $17 million, and we can't just keep doing that. You can't keep living on your credit card.
Do you have a business financial background?
Yeah, I do. Yes. I'm a businessman and I own a finance company, so I do have an understanding.
You've got the credentials. Now, as you know, Andrew, we're an animal rights vegan show, and I only recently discovered that you are a vegan, that the Hamilton Mayor is a vegan. When did you become vegan?
It would have been about 12 years ago now. I decided I didn't want to eat meat or dairy products as much as I could anymore. I'm quite strict, but I'm not totally strict. The problem is because since I've been mayor, it's been more difficult because some places I go, there just is dairy on everything. So occasionally I have to eat. Like this morning, I ate a hash brown that probably had could have had some dairy product in it, and it had a dollop of some dairy product probably on top of it, which I tried to scrape off. So, but sometimes you've got to be practical or go hungry, you know. So, but I'm reasonably strict, and I do certainly do the best I can to choose a non-dairy, no eggs and no meat. I never eat meat. But once again, if somebody served me up a meal with meat on it, I'd push the meat aside and eat the veggies, even though the meat may have been touching the veggies, because otherwise you go hungry.
Were you a vegetarian before you became vegan?
No, I just was
You vegan. Went straight vegan?
Yeah.
Is everyone in the family vegan?
No, I'm the only one.
Oh, yep. Goodness. So does the family cook have to prepare multiple meals?
No, you can cook quite easily. I've traditionally done a lot of the cooking, and you can cook quite easily to cater to a vegan. Do your vegetables and, say, you roast the vegetables or boil the vegetables, but you don't do it in animal fat. In fact, I try to not even use oil if I can, as much as possible. But you can roast vegetables beautifully without using even oil. You can do things like make a cheese sauce out of cashew nuts, put that on the table, and everybody, you know, say you've got guests over, you say, well, check it out first because it looks like cheese sauce, but it's actually cashew nut sauce. But you can spice it up with, you know, a bit of chili and, you know, the things you can do to make it actually taste lovely. The other way that I do is when we have guests over, or family over for that matter, we put the food in the middle of the table and people help themselves. And you find that people sit down when you've got guests and everybody puts food on their plates and starts eating, because you, obviously it's meal time and you're hungry, and people don't even notice that you're not eating the meat.
Yes. So. I've noticed that since I've been in the Waikato and coming regularly to Hamilton, that there are more and more vegan choices now in supermarkets and restaurants and stores that sell vegan products, including our sponsor for this program, Village Organics in Frankton. So that's really very encouraging, I think. Do you prepare your own lunch, for example, or if you're going out to lunch, you would just eat what you can? Is that correct?
Yeah, well, if you're buying your own lunch, you know where to go. Like sushi's a good choice. You know, there's always vegetarian choices with sushi. Subway, they have, you can do the vegan wrap, and we just get veggies put inside it, and then you could put, say, your, I think it's sweet onion, and there's no dairy in that, so you get to know what you can eat and what you can't. Also, if you're at a restaurant, I mean, I agree, in Hamilton there's fantastic restaurants now. The restaurants with the good chefs love the challenge of you coming in and asking to cook vegan, but I don't ask them specifically what to cook. I just say, if there's nothing vegan on the menu, I just say, can you just tell the chef to make something vegan? Yes. And they are creative people. That's why they're chefs, and they come out with fantastic dishes.
Of course, you're the mayor of Hamilton too.
Well, yeah, but even before I was the mayor, I found that the restaurants really have looked at the game. And if there's a restaurant you go to, sometimes you go to a fish and chips type restaurant, and the chefs aren't prepared to do anything different, but you often find the sides that you can get are vegetables. So, I mean, at the end of the day, people are worried when they find out you're a vegan and how they're going to look after you, but all we're asking for is vegetables. So it's not that hard.
I was speaking to some people today and told them I was vegan, and they said, oh, you're no doubt vegan for the environment, for your health and for animals. And I said, yes, that's true, but fundamentally I'm a vegan for one reason, and that is for the animals. And I guess I have to ask you, why did you become vegan 12 years ago?
Well, firstly, I was brought up as a child for one part of my life by my mother, and my family were brought up fruitarians. So that was nothing that then raw veggies, raw fruits, and occasionally we'd have, once a day we get dried nuts and dried fruit, and we'd have a B12 pill every day, of course, because Mum had researched it and she was responsible. But I did that for, you know, for quite a long time when I was young. And I found that because of that, my mother really did me a favour, because I found it very easy then as an adult to switch back to eating no dairy and no meat. So it was a natural thing. But the reason that I've gone vegan is really, I believe that it's a healthier way for me to eat. It's better for my body. Yes. I believe it's better for my arteries, my heart. And that's my main reason that I'm a vegan.
I was a vegetarian in my early 20s. I made the decision to go vegetarian, but I haven't been a vegan for very long, only for about 7 years. But I know that as soon as I became vegan, I started to feel better. These days there are more and more vegan bodybuilders, weightlifters, athletes, and so on. So it doesn't make you weak or lacking in energy, does it?
No, it doesn't.
And of course, you need lots and lots of energy and stamina in your job.
Well, I never feel weak or deprived or actually even that hungry. Mm. I do believe your body doesn't crave as much, and you certainly have the energy levels, well, probably more energy levels than what you have if you're a big meat eater.
Yes.
It's things that people don't normally talk about, but it's easier to go to the toilet. Things flow better. You just don't feel clogged up.
No.
And stuffed up, and you just seems to me to be a more natural and a better way to eat.
Yes, and I found that my thinking actually improved when I became vegan. I used to eat a lot of cheese and drink quite a lot of milk. But as soon as I gave all that up, I felt it was easier for me to think. My mental processes improved. And as I said, I still felt as if I had a lot of energy and felt as she's unobstructed. And I'm hardly ever sick, I should say. Well, it sounds like your mother was a remarkable person. She must have been one of very few people who were fruitarians and vegans a few years
ago. Yeah, quite interesting. Back then people thought she was nuts, and they actually thought she was being cruel to us children. I remember looking at me, because I was obviously skinny when you're a child anyway, and so I was extra skinny, and people would feel sorry for us and almost think my mother was wrong for what she was doing. But I do remember one thing that happened once. Well, it happened several times, actually. You cut yourself, and it would heal overnight as a fruitarian, and you wouldn't get infections, things like that. Now, I don't know whether it was my imagination. I haven't researched this or, you know, put a lot of work into this, but I do remember that when you hurt yourself, you didn't get infected generally, and then you've healed very, very quickly. Mm. So if that's happening on the outside, you must be better off on the inside as well.
Yes.
But like I say, I'm not basing that on any scientific or health evidence. I'm
It's your own experience, yes. It's kind of my experience too, and I think a lot of vegans would relate to what you're saying. We don't have very long, and so I'd like to ask you, if you wouldn't mind, about dairy farming. The Waikato is a farming area, and especially dairy farming. What are your thoughts about animal agriculture in the future? Can you see a time when maybe we'll motor through the countryside in the Waikato and see far, far fewer animals?
No, because I think most of the product that we produce is exported, and there's a huge, huge market out there for it. I think that things like cheese and milk, well, cheese anyway, and probably meat, I think to a degree there, especially your cheeses, they're a luxury, very rich luxury item, and I think the health conscious will look at it more like something like a wine or something that they don't overindulge in. But I also am a businessman, and I understand that New Zealand's economy, and certainly the Waikato, is hugely based around dairy farming, and you know, I believe the prosperity of our nation was built off dairy farming.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's an area where I don't, I wouldn't speak out against dairy farming
in
any shape. I know that it's not the fashion at the moment. I know
they're doing it hard at the moment.
Yeah, well, they used to be seen as we all used to aspire to our beautiful, clean, green farms, and I still believe that the dairy farmers themselves are getting more and more responsible very quickly, and they're very aware of the environment now and becoming more aware very quickly. And I think that New Zealand needs to lead the world in this area so that we stay ahead, because we can't afford for our reputation to be tarnished by doing things in unethical or cruel ways, or in ways that are hurting the environment.
Mm. So I'd like to turn now to the Hamilton Zoo. You contracted some zoo consultants and they prepared a master plan, and there was a bit of a hiatus, I think, after the tragic death of the zookeeper Samantha Kudaway a couple of years ago at Hamilton Zoo. But now the master plan has the go-ahead, I believe, and is ready to be rolled out. Can you tell us how the new look Hamilton Zoo is going to be better for the animals who live there?
Well, yes, the zoo plan has been voted through by a council, and it was voted through by a majority. I didn't vote for it, but if that's what my colleagues by majority want, I'll support where they go, because that's the way that government works. But on a personal level, I believe that, well, when I was a child, I went to the circus. They'd have lions at the circus, they'd have elephants at the circus, and that was perfectly acceptable. Now, there's no circuses in the Western world that I'm aware of that have animals.
That's right.
It's just not accepted anymore. Marine parks are frowned on. There's a lot of opposition to rodeos.
Yes.
And putting exotic animals in a cold temperature in small enclosures for people to look at, for the zoos to breed off, which can never be released back into the wild, I think is wrong. I don't agree at all with that in any way. I know some people would say, well, we've got to do it to breed them, otherwise they're going to go extinct. But, I mean, these animals can never, ever be released back into the wild. And if we're going to put them in an environment where we're going to breed on them, we need to do it in a way where we are keeping them in the wild so that they can be released back into their normal habitat afterwards. So I know it's all cute, but we've all seen the animals pacing up and down and rocking back and forth, and I don't think that we're being fair to the animals. And well, we have a role to look after the animals, but I still strongly don't agree with it. I know that I'm in a minority view on this, but I am prepared to speak up against that. I believe that if we're going to have a zoo, I would like to see it as, and this is again my personal view, not my view as the mayor, but I'd like to see it as a Indigenous species breeding park only for education and for breeding and releasing, and for studying the animals, only animals that are native to our country, and doing it in a way where we're doing it to release back into the wild as part of the programs. That's what I'd like to see happen with the capital and the funding and stuff that goes into the zoo.
I can relate to everything that you just said there, and it's great to know that we've got Andrew King as mayor of Hamilton. I think that your leadership is going to be an inspiration to many people.
Yeah, just one more point on the vegan thing is, I do believe if you're going to become a vegan for a long period of time, say more than 3 months, I think you need to research it a little bit, and I believe that you need to take a vitamin B12 pill every day, just a low dose, orally. It's the one thing that you can't get out of meat. I think I'd be being irresponsible if I didn't just remind people that that's the one thing I think they should at least research anyway.
I think most vegans do take supplementary B12. I have an occasional injection, probably works out once every 3 months or so, which keeps my B12 up. But there's a lot out there on the internet, and anyone thinking of going vegan can find that sensible advice on the net. And as someone I spoke to today said, you begin from where you are. You take small steps. And it could be that someone listening today is thinking, oh, well, I would like to try to become a vegan, but it might not be right for them to go vegan immediately. So you take small steps. Yeah, but I do think, like you, that it's an ideal form of nourishment for the body and for the mind, and of course it's much better for the animals and the environment.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, very good. Oh, well, thank you very much, Sandra.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. Thank you again, Andrew.
Bye-bye. Right, thank you. Bye. Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed the interview with Hamilton Mayor Andrew King. And don't forget, you can download podcasts from our Facebook page, Safe and Sound Radio Show and Podcast, or you can go to Free FM or iTunes and type in Safe and Sound, and that'll bring up the podcasts as well. And if you're local, why don't you pop into Village Organics, 245 Commerce Street, Frankton, and check out their vegan produce. I popped in there today and I bought some paleo crackers. Despite the name, they're 100% vegan. They were just delicious. They included activated walnuts, New Zealand flax seed, black mustard seeds, capsicum, tomatoes, coconut oil, and lots of other wholesome and nutritious ingredients. They were really, really yum. So we'll go out on a track that's a favourite of mine by Michael Jackson. It was written for a pet rat who died, and the rat's name was Ben. Ko Sandra Kyle tene. Thanks for listening, everyone. Until next time, mā te wā. Go well.
Ben, the two of us need live no more. We both found what we were looking for. Most people